The Blue Water Chamber of Commerce hosts a variety of networking events, connecting their members with leads, referrals, and people they can do business with. See what's happening at the Chamber and how they can help your business grow at bluewaterchamber.com.
All right, on this Thursday morning, the 7th of October, 2021, back in March of 2020, when everything shut down, including the U.S.-Canadian border, the Blue Water Bridge, I didn't even imagine that this far down the road we would still be talking about at least the partial shutdown of the border. Joining us right now, the mayor of Sarnia, Ontario, Mike Bradley. Mayor Bradley, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
It's been a long, protracted closing and really one-sided at this point. Any idea if or when things are going to change?
Well, you know, and we've talked about this often, Paul, and I'm involved with a group of border city mayors in Ontario that we had every expectation back in August that when we opened our border to vaccinated shot people from the United States, we would get the same reciprocity. That we would get the same opportunity for Canadians who are double vaccinated to go to the U.S. That didn't happen. And there's no indication that's going to change when the next deadline comes up, which is the 21st of this month. And I've talked to the Minister of Border Security for the country on a number of occasions. I think they were totally surprised that we weren't being treated equally because we are further ahead in statistically in vaccinations than the U.S. But I don't see any pressure. And we keep on being told that in Washington, they are linking the Canadian border and the Mexican border together, which has unfortunately happened many times in the past.
Yeah.
But they're two different borders, Paul, as you know.
Yeah, very different circumstances on the two sides of the country. I hope that things will change. This is not the only thing that has the two countries at odds. The Enbridge Energy Line 5 pipeline that you say is very, very necessary to the economy and to the way of life over there in Canada. And, of course, the governor of Michigan would like to see it shut down. You say that there may be some tools in the chest that will ensure that that stays open over there, though.
Well, it's interesting, again, Paul, that we thought when there was Democratic administration elected, we thought there's always been a better relationship, just by philosophy, with the present governments, who are most governments in Canada, that have been the Liberal Party. That hasn't been the case. So directly in Sarnia, we're talking 3,000 to 5,000 jobs, well-paid jobs, jobs that have existed for a long, long time, would be lost. That pipeline produces about 6,000 products throughout Ontario, throughout Quebec, and it also goes back into Michigan for jet fuel in Detroit and propane in the Northern Peninsula. So, we continue this battle because what happened was that this was being court mediated out of Detroit, and it was pretty evident from the reports coming back that the governor's people did not want a mediated settlement. And so finally, the Canadian government the other day invoked a treaty we have never invoked in our history that was put together in 1977 that said state governments could not interfere in the transportation of fuels in international situations. And this is what this is. The Minister of Natural Resources for Canada, Seamus O'Regan, called me on Monday to say, we have to do this. We don't have an option anymore. The governor won't support mediation, so we're going to have to, for the first time ever, use this treaty.
Those treaties are often signed really as a symbol of goodwill, basically. You don't ever think that that's going to have to be invoked.
No, and what it really leads to is more mediation, but at the federal level. And being really frank about it, is the Biden White House has not wanted to intervene. They keep on saying, well, this is a state issue. They know full well it isn't. It's very vital to Canada's interest, and I would make the case to America's interest to keep that line going. And, the thing that sometimes gets lost is this line, as it continues, there will be $500 million spent in Michigan to protect it through the straits. And that will flow right away once we can get moving on this, because it's also creating a lot of job insecurity in this region and in Ontario, because companies that we're dealing with are looking at investing here and saying, well, are we guaranteed security of supply? And the Line 5 has become a national issue here. I know it doesn't get a lot of attention outside of Michigan, but it's a big issue here in Canada.
Well, it is indeed, and pipelines in general have become a big issue, especially this week with the oil spill in California that has just fueled, no pun intended, the anti-pipeline activists, hasn't it?
It has. And, you know, I understand that. I mean, the linkage is there. But I also understand this. When you look at all the means of transportation of oil, and Sarnia has about 26 pipelines that come into it, mainly from the west, is that it's the safest. If this pipeline had to shut tomorrow, then you would see 800 to maybe 1,000 rail cars and trucks every day, which are not environmentally friendly, out there trying to get that fuel to this area. So, you know, there's a sort of an odd argument that, well, this is to help the environment. It also will have a very negative impact on the environment. And as we're heading to $100 a barrel oil, the nature of that pipeline is now understood better that, you know, it's a cost issue, it's a security issue. So it's very frustrating, and, you know, this may offend some of your listeners in Michigan, but the biggest struggle that myself, the federal government, the provincial government has, is the governor will not talk to anyone for 2 years, refuses to talk to anyone on this side of the border. And I've made the point very clearly over here to the media, to the public, is that how do we continue to have a good relationship? There's $90 billion in trade every year that goes through the Ambassador Bridge, the Blue Water Bridges, and through the rail tunnel here to Michigan. $90 billion. And you can't have it every which way, right? If the governor doesn't want to talk to us on the Line 5 issue, then you say, well, then why should we be cooperating on other issues? It's not, and I don't agree that we should cut off trade. I don't believe in that type of approach. But it's very frustrating because if the government wants to talk to us on other issues, and we do have an agreement that was signed in, I think, 3 years ago, to increase the trade between Michigan and Ontario and the cooperation and the regionalization of issues like tourism and economic development. So it's very frustrating that the governor won't talk to anyone on this side of the border.
Why do you suppose she is so dug in on this and refusing to talk? Is she hoping for more federal aid? And, of course, the feds are saying, no, this is a state issue.
Well, you know, obviously I observe Michigan politics. I just think it's a political decision. Mm-hmm. It was promised in the election. I understand that, trying to keep her promise that she made. But this gives her an opportunity to just say, look, I've done the best I can. Let the two national governments sort this out. But it is frustrating that there's always collateral damage when you won't talk to someone on other issues. You know, use the marriage analogy, right? If you're not talking on one issue, then it impacts on everything else you do when you're trying to communicate to each other.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, it's frustrating on so many fronts. And the fact that, you know, the border is still essentially closed for Canadian travel into the U.S., that just doesn't help. It's kind of a difficult time. For
it is, Paul, I will say I'm seeing reports now there's much more pressure going through the American political system to open the border for non-essential travel for vaccinated people. And if you think about you know, in Port Huron, the impact on, you know, restaurants and
absolutely
and gas, you name it, and you know that story, as do your listeners. So I think that's where the pressure is going to have to come to change that border decision. What Canadians say, I don't think makes a difference, but what Americans say about we want the right to do so, and you know, to allow Canadians to come over and keep our economy pumped up. And you go to places like out west and on the east coast of the United States, it's a huge part of the economy.
How is the Sarnia-Lambton area doing in terms of vaccination, in terms of COVID cases? I know that your vaccination rate has been pretty good. How's everything now that we're moving into the fall and winter months?
Well, we still have that 20% or so that seem to exist everywhere that just aren't cooperating. Yeah, we're up there. I mean, county council yesterday and city council have already said you can't participate in person at our meetings if you're not vaccinated. It's that 20% group that's very hard to get to. The numbers are going up, and I think part of that is the schools have gone back in. Part of it is I think people think they're totally immune when they're vaccinated, and that's not the case. However, the statistics show here and through the province that if you are vaccinated, the odds of you getting COVID are much less, and those that aren't vaccinated are showing up in the hospitals in big, big numbers compared to those who are vaccinated. So, and the numbers are going up, and I expect that to continue, only because we're not getting closer to each other. The patios are closing. You know, there's some indoor events going on. So, you know, it's not where we wanted it to be, because I expected, we were talking, you know, 6 months ago that this would be all coming to a conclusion. We're getting there, but it's painfully slow.
Yeah, it is indeed. Mayor, appreciate your time as always. Stay well. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you very much, Paul. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.